Safe to say we've all been blessed. Thank you, Sam. We appreciate you and your family. So today's scripture is found 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, and I'll be reading from the New International Version today. It says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply, from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached to you." If you can, kneel with me in prayer. Father God in heaven, we are grateful this morning to be here in your presence in the house of the Lord. We're amazed at how you love us and how you care for us. We're blessed that you're here with us today. We ask for your forgiveness, Father, in those areas of our life that we fall short. We want to lift up those who aren't with us today. We think of Tanya Lovelace and her husband Robin as they face this trial together and with you and the others with health issues. Father, we just ask that you give wisdom and knowledge and know-how to the doctors, nurses, and other care providers as they administer the proper care at the proper time so that we might realize the best results. Give them strength and courage to persevere. Wrap your loving arms of grace and mercy around them is our prayer today, Father. We lift up our young men and women in uniform, and we thank you for providing them to help protect our freedoms in this country. We ask now that you prepare our hearts for the words you have for us today, and that you would anoint Arides as he brings us your message. Bless us this Sabbath day, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. I just want to look at this cross for a moment. It's really beautiful, isn't it? When I look at it, I really think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. And the gift of salvation that comes with it. I just love and rejoice in the fact that the cross is empty. Because the one who died in there to give the cross its meaning, its reason, and it's alive, and he lives forever. Amen. And thank you to the Lagosi family for that beautiful, special music. I am really blessed this morning. As always, I like being completely honest. I am somewhat nervous today, which is normal every time I'm preaching. But we pray that the Holy Spirit may be with us as we study the Bible and go through the different verses we're going to be looking at this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to invite your presence to be with us in this morning. And we want to invite your Holy Spirit to be in our hearts and our minds. And may we understand the message that you have for us today. Please help us stay away from distractions if there's anything troubling us or if Satan's trying to just distract us so we don't understand. Please be with us and help us to stay focused on your word and just to understand the words you have for each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the sermon for today, obeying the truth. and purifying our souls. I'm really not used to this preaching with a mask or a face shield, but I really rather to preach with the mask. So I can't wait for the day I can actually get rid of it. Let's keep praying. It probably will happen soon. Obeying the truth. Some things we're going to be looking at during these sermons. Obedience. And the implications of obedience for our salvation as Christians. Three things that I want to point out. Number one, obedience as a sign of sanctification. This obedience really shows that we've been sanctified. Number two, obedience as a result or resulting in holiness in God. This obedience really makes us holy. And number three, obedience as the purification of our souls. This obedience really purifies us. Things that I want to point out. But before I continue with it, I want to tell you a little story. And it might be a little bit of a embarrassing family story, which I didn't ask my wife to talk about it. But and I'm not going to give a lot of detail. I'm only going to tell my part of the story. But I remember 6 years ago, I was getting ready to propose. And we had been dating for at least a year and a half or a year or something. And so I flew. I was currently living in the Dominican at the time. So I flew to Portland. She picked me up there. And then we drove down to Medford. And I stayed here for a couple of weeks because she still was working. And so I teamed up with her cousin to plan this surprise for her. So we went and bought a dress and made sure the dress, you know, was the right size and everything. This was all while she was working, and she didn't have an idea of anything was going on. But I was so nervous. And the whole time I was planning this surprise, because I had been planning it since a month before, I've been contacting people around here, and I've been planning this whole thing, but I was so nervous because I didn't know. First, I wasn't sure she was going to say yes. Which is, she says, I'll have said yes to you regardless. But I'm so thankful she said yes. But I was nervous. I mean, there's always that little thing in there. And I was afraid. Well, I wasn't afraid. I was just a little bit nervous and just wanting everything to go, you know, according to the plan. So I prepared the things I was supposed to prepare here. The proposal was happening down in Southern California in the Bay Area where Hannah is originally from. And I had contacted some of her friends and family to be there at a restaurant. But we were supposed to have dinner with some friends. And then they were going to be late. I was going to propose where they were late. And then her friends and family were going to show up for the celebration. That was basically the idea behind the proposal. But I was getting ready because I was supposed to come up and sing and, you know, have this special song for her. And we wanted to make sure the sound system was, you know, properly prepared for that. And I was also going to change. So I was learning this song that I didn't know, and so I was afraid of forgetting the lyrics in the middle of the song. Someone was going to be recording, and there were so many things going on that you can understand why I was so nervous. And this is the important part of the story. The day of the proposal, as I was getting ready and, you know, practicing my song, it was December 23rd, right? And so it was before Christmas Eve dinner. And so we were also preparing everything for the Christmas Eve dinner ahead of time. And Hannah was out of the house, and I was with her mom and sister. And so her sister was preparing a cranberry sauce for the dinner. So she asked for my help. Are you too busy? Can you help me now? And I'm like, well, I'm busy, but I can, you know, help you. I know you also need help in the kitchen. So I go to the kitchen, try to help her, and she gives me clear instructions that I interpret as she says, or this is what I heard in my hand, can you please peel these cranberries and wash the oranges? And I'm like, okay. I look at the bowl of cranberries, and there's like 1,000 of them. Not 1,000, but there's a lot. And, well, very obedient, I go wash the oranges, wash the cranberries, and I start one by one peeling them. I have peeled like, what, probably 10 by now? And she looks at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, you told me to peel the cranberries. She's like, I told you to peel the oranges and wash the cranberries. I just want to point out, I was being obedient. I heard the instructions. I was so nervous that I misinterpreted the instructions. But I was being obedient. And the point is that being obedient is really important, at least for me. And I was raised with the concept that obedience leads you to great things in life. And obedience leads you to great things in your spiritual life as well. I still remember how having worship every morning at the orphanage with our family, we would read our devotional or the Bible or the story we were supposed to read for Sabbath school as a family. And then they would ask everyone, what did you learn from today's lesson? And the little ones, obviously, they will always be, they need to be obedient to mom and to dad. Like, they understand. Even if the story wasn't about obedience. But they understood that being obedient was important. In the verses we're going to look at today, or the chapter we're going to look at today, Peter chapter 1, we can find the word obedience 3 times. And why do you think Peter mentions this word 3 times in this chapter? Maybe because it's important? Maybe because it's important for our salvation? Maybe because it's important for our sanctification or holiness, to achieve holiness, to purify our souls from sin? Let's see what the Word of God has to say. We can see here, I didn't mean to do that. Okay. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles on 1 Peter. I'm going to have some verses up here, but not all of them. So we're going to be reading from the screen and also from our Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you have it ready for when we don't have the verses up the screen, we can all read together. Okay, and this is verses 1 and 2. And it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. This is just a greeting. And it is important for us to look at the context of this greeting. Who is greeting to, and who is he greeting? So we find here Peter. Who is Peter? We know that Peter was one of the disciples of Jesus. And that he had a great relationship with him. So Peter, and then he describes himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's talking to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus and then mentions all the places of the people he's referring to in here. And then proceeds to say that they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is by no means a sermon on predestination, but just to clarify before I keep speaking, there's big issues within the Christian community, theological community, because some people might misinterpret this verse when Peter says to the elect, and then interpret this as God already has, you know. And then they use this verse for predestination when the context is in no way about that. Saying, yes, God already, you are elect by God for something important. Not saying that everybody else is not, or the group he's not referring to is not, if that makes sense. But I can't, I'm not going to talk too much about it. If you want to have a conversation, you're welcome to text me or email me or call me, and we can talk about it if you desire. What is it exactly what Peter is trying to say? Verse 2 says that those people were elect to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for what? For obedience. So he's saying you have been chosen to obey God, to obey His word. You have been chosen so your testimony can be seen. And so Peter links obedience to sanctification, the first thing we're seeing. Obedience as a sign of sanctification. And so when he says that you have been chosen to obey God, it's something really important that he mentions in here, that God the Father has chosen them to be sanctified on the Holy Spirit through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. God the Father calls us to be sanctified through the Holy Spirit. And through what? Through the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ. So he's calling us, just as he called the pilgrims of the dispersion. Just as he called the church back in the day, he is calling us today, and he's saying, God is saying, I have chosen my people. I have chosen Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church to obey my word, to be sanctified through the Holy Spirit, and to accept the sacrifice through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he proceeds to say, grace to you and peace be multiplied. When Peter is saying that we have been chosen for obedience, it's something big for him. Why? Because if someone can teach us about obedience in the Bible, it's Peter. Do you remember the story when Jesus said, Peter, come walking on the water? Did he walk on water, yes or no? Yes, he obeyed Jesus and he trusted Jesus and he walked on water. Yes, he was drowning later, because we are all humans, and we fail sometimes. But Peter knew about obedience to Jesus Christ. So he knew what he was talking about. And as he was part of the apostle that Jesus had chosen at the beginning, as he was part of that special group that Jesus had called, he also understood the meaning behind being called by God to fulfill a special purpose or a special task. So he's saying it's really important. I am addressing you. I am talking to you. And it's really important for you to know that God has chosen you. So you be sanctified through the Holy Spirit. And that you obey his word. That you obey his command. And that you do so with the help of the Holy Spirit. And that you accept your salvation through the sprinkling of the blood. So, why so much emphasis on the blood in here? So, if we look at the blood of Christ, throughout the Bible, the blood has meaning, deep meaning. And we probably don't have time to look at all the meaning the blood has throughout the Bible. But Romans 5:9 says that blood justifies before God. We cannot justify ourselves. But the blood of Christ does that for us. The Bible also says on Luke 22:20 that the blood seals the covenant between God and us, of which the Lord's Supper is a sign. When Jesus was giving his cup for them to drink, his blood, that seals the covenant. That seals that promise that God said, I'm going to give you my son so his blood can forgive your sins. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says that the blood cleanses us from all sin. And one last verse to point out. Blood admits us into heaven. We cannot go to heaven if we don't accept the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is why Peter makes an emphasis in here that it has to be through the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. We have to accept that sacrifice. And the main point we learn from it is that we can achieve that sanctification through obedience to the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Because that's what he's saying there. Verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. And then he ends up his introduction with the salutation, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Inferring, you already have peace. But I want that peace and that grace that you have now be multiplied. That you have, that you received the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that be multiplied so you can share with others. If you go and read the rest of the verses that are not here. Let's read verse 3 and 4. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glorify at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that will come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So Peter is saying in here this: there is a task that we have to fulfill. And we have been chosen to fulfill the task. And so he's entrusting them, and he's saying, you have to obey this because you have been called to preach this gospel, and this you can do when you obey the word with your testimony through the Holy Spirit. That will bring sanctification to you. And that way, the way you live, you will testify to others. So he's asking them, in verse 12, he says that by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven things which angels desire to look into. The angels desire to fulfill the task. But we have been chosen to do it. And we have been sent the Holy Spirit to do so. That's what Peter is saying in there. Then when we go into verse 13, he said, you want to obey God's word? You want to fulfill the task? Then gird up the loins of your mind. You don't do so loosely. You don't just say, okay, I want to obey God. Let's just obey. Or let's just have people see that I'm obeying, but in reality, I'm doing something totally different. Like, totally different. And so I want to apologize if I refer too much to sermons I've preached in the past, because the verses that are coming, I've used in sermons before. If you remember them, so you know what I'm talking about. If not, I'm going to try to explain without having to preach a whole different sermon. I'll try to be as brief as possible. But Peter is saying, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you remember that sermon I once preached here, it was about perfection and being perfect, as God was also perfect, because the Bible says so, and being holy. It's not about a state where we're just sinless human beings, that you're just sitting there and we don't sin in any way. It's not about that. And we can see it in the context of this chapter. That holiness and sanctification are linked to being what? Obedient. It's at the very heart, in the center of this chapter. Peter is asking these people and telling them, you have been chosen and you have the Holy Spirit to do so, to achieve sanctification, which is a process that will last a long time until Jesus comes and completes that task and completes that event. It's a process. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to do it. And then he's asking them, therefore you have to guard your mind against sin. You have to get ready. You don't just go to a competition without getting ready, do you? You don't just run, you know, join a race without practicing before, without being in a good physical condition. You have to train. You have to get ready. Therefore, Peter is saying, you want to do this? You have to get ready. And how do we get ready to testify? How do we get ready to talk to others about God's word? We cannot just go in and tell them, hey, Jesus loves you, because they might be living a life and they might tell you, reply with something that you don't have an answer for it. Why? Because maybe we're not ready, because maybe we didn't study the Bible, maybe we didn't pray. And although there are hundreds of verses in the Bible that could be helpful for that person, we don't have it because we didn't ask for the Holy Spirit. So Peter is saying, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. In other words, get ready to fulfill this task. Read your Bible. Pray. Fast. Be willing to receive the Holy Spirit so you can fully fulfill this task. So he's talking in here and telling them to get ready. He says, you have to do so as obedient children. Not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance. What he's saying is, before you were called, before you joined this Christian family, you had a way of living that is different to what you've been called now. And so you don't conform to your past life, to your former lust. You have to live up to your calling. You have to live as a Christian. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's not easy. Even within our church, within our congregation, sometimes we have a hard time reflecting Jesus' character, loving each other as brothers and sisters, which is something we're going to see right now in a couple of minutes. It is a hard task to do. And that is why Peter is saying, gird up the loins of your mind. And then he invites everyone to be holy as God is holy. And I love how when we keep reading, probably don't have time to keep reading everything, but if you keep reading, go home and read this whole chapter, chapter 1, and the beginning of chapter 2 on the verse 10. And actually verse 12. And you'll see how Peter also talks to the people who are disobedient. Because he's making an emphasis on being obedient to the word of God. So, God is asking us to be obedient children. What happens after we obey God, after we're being sanctified through obedience to the word of God with the Holy Spirit, and we have accepted Jesus' sacrifice? What happens once we obey as little children? Verse 22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And this is kind of like his conclusion to this calling of being holy and being obedient to God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love, then love one another fervently. What he's saying is, once you accept your calling, and you accept the Holy Spirit, you enter this process of sanctification that obedience help you to reach that, to be and to just keep going through that process of sanctification. And then once you have been purified in obeying the truth of the Word of God, then you are able to forget about yourself and just love your brother and sister. You're able to just forget about your life and go out there and help those people in need of Jesus, in economical needs, in need of emotional support, in need of help. Once we've been purified by the Holy Spirit, then we are able to serve him with a pure heart. Because let me tell you, there's many people out there doing good. So many people out there donating millions to orphanages, to organizations that need help. The question is, are they doing so with a pure heart? Question is, are they really doing so because they've gone through the process of sanctification in the Holy Spirit? Are they really doing so because they're practicing holiness in God while being ready, studying the Bible, and praying so that they can ask for that holiness every day? Probably not. And that is why Peter is clarifying here. We can do good things. We can come to church every Sabbath. We can tithe. We can give our offerings. We can pretend we love our brother and sister and then go behind their back and say whatever we want. We can do that. That doesn't necessarily mean we've been through this process of obedience, sanctification, and holiness in God. And then as a result of going through that process, Peter is saying, since you have gone through that process, you have purified your souls while obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit. And we can see something important. If you go back to verse 2, how Peter mentions that all of these happen in union and obedience to the three persons of the Trinity. God the Father, who's the one who calls you, who gives you the Holy Spirit so you can obey, and then Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, which is what justifies us in front of God. If we deny the presence of Jesus or the Holy Spirit, we're probably in a big error. And then within this chapter as well, in chapter 2, you're going to see, if you go home and study that, you're going to see how Peter asked them to stand against those people who have false doctrines. False doctrines about everything that we believe today. Be sober and guard up your mind. Be ready. So you can stand in the truth. So you can obey the truth. So you can obey the word of God. So what are the three things we've seen today? Obedience, a sign of sanctification in the word of God through the Holy Spirit. Obedience results in holiness in God, something that we have to ask for every day, girding up our minds and being sober. That means studying the Bible and praying. And obedience that purifies our souls from sin. What am I not saying, to be clear? Again, if you remember that sermon about works versus faith, we obey God because we have been saved already. Okay? And we've already read verse 4, is that our inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away and has been reserved in heaven for us. That inheritance God prepared beforehand. Everything is prepared. Then he chooses us and calls us, and come serve me. Not because you have to work to earn this. It's already yours. Is that clear? So when we obey God, we do so because we have already been saved. And because we are grateful for that sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. When we obey his word, we do so because we want to be ready to fulfill our task and go out there and talk to others about Jesus. When we obey God's word, we do so because the enemy is out there. And he's attacking us. And he's trying to deceive us with so many teachings that are not in the Bible, and that's why we need to study it and obey it. And just as a closing thought, I want to look at two paragraphs from Sister White. One of them says, Acts of the Apostles says, to substitute external forms of religion for holiness of heart and life is still as pleasing to the unrenewed nature as it was in the days of these Jewish teachers. Remember how Peter is talking to these people who are Jews, and they know when he's mentioning the sprinkling of the blood, they have in their mind the whole ritual of the Day of Atonement when they were supposed to be cleansed by the shedding of the blood, and not just the shedding of the blood, but the sprinkling of the blood that was supposed to purify them, supposed to clean them. And so just as in those days, today as then, there are false spiritual guides, because doctrines many listen eagerly. It is Satan's studied effort to divert minds from the hope of salvation through faith in Christ and obedience to what? To the law of God. He's working actively every day, every minute, every second. The enemy is working to deceive us, so that we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, so that we don't obey his law, so that we don't obey his word. We have to be aware of that. And that's why we get the warning. In every age, the arch enemy adapts his temptations to the prejudices or inclinations of those whom he is seeking to deceive. In apostolic times, he led the Jews to exalt the ceremonial law and reject Christ. At the present time, he induces many professing Christians under the pretense of honoring Christ to cast contempt on the moral law and to teach that its precepts may be transgressed with impunity. She concludes, it is the duty of every servant of God to withstand firmly and decisively these perverters of the faith, and by the word of truth, fearlessly to expose their errors. We have been called to stand in the truth. That is what she's saying. And last one. See, she says, today, the truth of Scripture are to be brought before the great men of the world in order that they may choose between obedience to God's law and allegiance to the prince of evil. It's either one or the other. You either obey, or if you disobey, obviously, you're on the other side. And that is really sad. God sets everlasting truth before them, truth that will make them wise unto salvation, but he does not force them to accept it. If they turn from it, he leaves them to themselves to be filled with the fruit of their own doings. Question is, what are you choosing today? Are we choosing to obey the word? Are we choosing to obey the truth? Are we choosing to be sanctified by the word of God? Are we choosing to be holy every day if God is holy? Are we choosing to purify our souls from sin through the Holy Spirit? God is calling us. God is calling me. God is calling you. God is calling Valley View, each and every one of us, to open our hearts today, to receive the Holy Spirit, and to be able to obey what the Bible says. Will you join with me and study the Bible every day and pray for the Holy Spirit so we can receive strength, because we need it. And with everything we're seeing today, we just need strength. And we cannot find so in other source than the Bible. We need the strength, and we need strength to obey. God really wants us to be willing to follow and obey his word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scripture. We're thankful for your truth, and we're thankful for the sacrifice you did on the cross for us. We know it's hard, and times are getting harder and harder, but we pray that you guide us and that your light shine upon us and that you just show us your truth, oh Father, and that we have strength to follow your word and to talk to others about Jesus. And just give us your forgiveness and your grace and your love so we can keep walking as Christians in a world that seems to be going backwards. Help us stand for your word. Help us show others the way to come to you, O Father. Help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray.